right. Let's pray again real quick before I start, okay? Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity I have tonight to share my story. And I pray that the hearts of the people tonight will be open and that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, and any healing that needs to take place will begin tonight. Any hurts will be soothed away by the love of God and that your words would minister to them and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, again, but my name is Jamie Grosshart, and I have the awesome opportunity to share my story of God's love and his redemption in my life. It's long, so I hope that you don't get too tiresome over my story. Anyway, I grew up as a bus kid. We didn't have a whole lot. We were poor, and I remember riding the bus on our gravel road, meeting the church bus every Sunday, every Wednesday night, hitching a ride. And it was a small church out in the country. And that really even speaks volumes to me today, because it instilled that older generation and the value they have in my life, and the old hymns, and how rich they are in God's truth. But life began to play itself out, and I slowly began to miss that church bus as it drove past my dusty gravel road. My parents fought, separated, and divorced when I was in fourth grade. And, you know, I really didn't blame myself. I really didn't even remember being really sad and having much sorrow. My dad was very faithful to pick me up and my brother, and he was a part of our life during our week with them. But my mom, she started a spiral in a very dark place. She worked late hours, she partied, visited bars, and she was in and out of many relationships. She and my older sister is about, put me on the spot, I think 8 years older than me. They did a lot of cake parties at home while my brother and I were upstairs, kind of out of the way. My mom was longing to be loved. I know that that was her situation. She had a great need to fill that love at all cost. She began to date and eventually marry a man that was an alcoholic, and he was very physically abusive towards her. At that time, my older sister was out of the home, so it was just my brother and I. And I remember he was abusive in his words towards me, but not actions. And though he didn't hit me, the verbal pain was very, very real. I vividly recall him beating my mom one evening. I remember my brother, he's 5 years younger than me, he jumped on my stepdad's back trying to stop the situation. I kind of froze in fear. And my mom was yelling for help. And eventually we didn't know what to do. So we ran next door to our neighbor and they called the police. And when all was said was done, he left before the law enforcement arrived. And eventually, a few weeks later, a month later, he came back begging on his knees while my mom always took him back. And that was a cycle that happened, you know, every time during my teen and preteen years. This is the good part. Meanwhile, when I was 14, I was invited to a Youth for Christ function. After we went bowling, I sat down and watched a video of a man who was in prison. I wish I knew his name. I know it was sponsored by Focus on the Family, but I don't know the man's name. That really doesn't matter. One day I'll know in heaven. I don't remember why he was there, but I do remember that he shared the love of Jesus and shared what Jesus did for his life, and how he turned him around. And so that night, I remember the teens giggling and kind of, you know, doing that teenage thing. And I was there with tears streaming out of my eyes, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior right there in that moment. On March 3rd, and this shows my age, 1991, I ran to him. But, you know, the abuse never stopped. The situation didn't change. I had Christ in my life. But, you know, I think the words of my stepfather held more power than I allowed Christ to have in my life. Around that time, when I was about 14, a generational curse kind of played itself out in my life, and that was depression. That word, I hear that a lot in casual conversations, someone saying that's depressed, and they're depressed. And sometimes that just really kind of irks me a little bit, because depression isn't something to just say casually, in my opinion. I was depressed. I was clinically depressed. I embraced music as my escape as a teen. I sang at many competitions, traveled with singing groups. This, again, shows my age, but I recorded some tapes. I wrote songs, took all these lessons in exchange for babysitting. Since we didn't have much money, I babysat for all my music lessons. I had big dreams of where music was going to take me, but depression robbed me from being able to function, even in my daily routines. I could sing, but I couldn't face a classroom of 30 peers. I could drown out my sadness with writing a song, but I couldn't walk outside my front door. I eventually dropped out of high school and immediately moved out at 17 to get away from the abuse while working at McDonald's. I obtained my GED the same summer as I was to graduate, and I enrolled in a Christian university in Olathe, Kansas, in hopes of pursuing my music degree. And getting out of that situation and out of the talent, I thought that would kind of solve all my issues. But that year of college was a complete disaster. My depression continued to worsen. Now I came home with a hefty amount of debt that, as my husband could testify, we're still paying on 20 years later. I enrolled in a local college after that and pursued a degree in the medical field, respiratory therapy. As a young child, I lost my hearing in my left ear due to its middle ear tumors. It's called cholesteatomas. I had many surgeries growing up, and that's why I love to sing, because the doctor said that there was no way that I could be singing in pitch, that I should be tone deaf because of the vital time that I lost my hearing. So it's only by God's grace and God's amazing power that I can sing. So anyway, doctors told me, oh, I already said that. Where am I? I can get off track a lot. Anyway, so I was interested in the medical field because of that. So I had the best teachers in my college, and they really worked with me, and I still to this day, my professor is one of my Facebook friends, and she's always one of my biggest supporters. She knew about my depression, and she did everything she could to keep me from not failing and graduating, and I graduated with my degree in respiratory therapy. And I finally finished something in my life. I was so proud of myself, and still am. Anyway, I got a job lined up in Jeff City, and I moved there and had a great job making good money to support myself. And I found an amazing church, Solid Rock Family Church. I don't know if some of you guys are familiar with them. The Skiles family were a huge blessing to me down there, or up there. Down there. When immediately I plugged into ministries and developed friendships, I became a leader in the singles group and was one of the worship leaders, but eventually a depression took a hold of me. My 20s were a very dark time. They were spent, literally in darkness. Depression got so deep that I couldn't function in my daily routine again. Counseling, medications, nothing worked for me. I was so miserable that I would hide in my closet for days. I would just be crunched in my closet and just crying because I was just wanted to get rid of the pain, and I was so depressed and devastated. I couldn't hold it down a job. I went from working as a therapist to working about every fast food restaurant up and down Missouri Boulevard, if you know where that is. I would cry out to Jesus. I knew what the word said. I knew the promises of God, and I would scream out to him just to save me from this, to make me happy. Every service, I would sob at the altar thinking this time he would just fix it, that I could walk away in freedom, and it would be instantaneous. One morning, I would just wake up, and all this would be taken away from me. I would huddle in my closet in my windowless basement apartment, dreaming of just running free. I screamed in desperation so many days in the darkness. It happens to others. I see people miraculously being healed in an instant and not craving anything that they were once addicted to. I was thinking, why can't that happen to me? Why can't I have that aha moment? I read so many books from Max Lucado to all sorts of different authors, thinking that if I just read a certain book or read a certain sentence that it would just click, and I would have that aha moment, or someone would say something to me.